Thank the Lord this morning for another opportunity to look into the Word. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Judges. Desire your prayers, the Lord will bless this today. The book of Judges in the second chapter. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land, unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord and that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in the Timnathheres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of God. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Sounds like this is a picture of God's promise to his people as long as they were his people. As long as they served him and kept his commandments, God promised that he would bless them, but when they turned their back on the Lord, God sent evil against them. I would like to talk this morning about veterans. By no means do I have a desire or an intention to lift up man, but I want to mention veterans or speak about veterans this morning. The Bible here, the scripture reading, talks about another generation. All down through time, there have been different generations that pass, as if I can use the word baton, from one generation to another. The generation of combat troops that sat at Moses' feet and fought alongside of Joshua, they were the veterans. They were the ones, a veteran is someone with experience. They were the ones who had won the victories to get them into the Canaan land, but now they were gone. Now they had all died and there was another generation that had come up. And when that other generation come up and did not know and understand or was not reminded of the works of the Lord. It said that they did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal. Typical, isn't it, of mankind? God has always in His Word, and it's always been His will to use man to be in leadership. He's called men and women in the book of Judges. He called men to be in leadership, to be someone that will take the reins, if you will, and take the responsibility and carry the burden before the people. And Moses was one of them. And Moses had a great responsibility. There was over 1 million people that he was trying to deal with, and the burden of it got him down. The burden of it was very heavy and weighty upon his heart. But yet, Moses was faithful. The Bible, New Testament, tells us that he was faithful in all of his house. And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness. And then the baton was passed on to Joshua, and the Lord told Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And every place that you put your foot down," he said, "I'll give it to you." And Joshua was faithful to the Lord. The verse here where it said Joshua, I want to see if I can find that here. The verse 8, it says, "Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord." I believe that's why he was successful. It's because he was a servant of the Lord. The Lord chose him, and he was faithful, too, in all of his house and all of his dealings before the people. And I look at Moses, and I look at Joshua. The Bible tells us that the veterans were gone now. And all those that fought with them, and all the wars that the children of Israel fought to gain their land, and the land of Canaan, and those places that the land that God had given them, it says the veterans were gone now. The generation before them were gone. And this generation that he's speaking of here, they didn't know anything about what happened then. They didn't know their leaders. They didn't understand their faithfulness. They were not aware. Let me say it this way, folks. This generation that he speaks of was not aware of what their liberty had cost. Liberty is precious, isn't it? Liberty is a wonderful thing, and I'm thankful for liberty and the freedom that we have in Christ today. And the only reason why that we have that liberty today in Christ is because we still have the truth. And because we're still standing by the truth of God's precious Word. That is what gives us the liberty, because Christ said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I'm thankful for that today. But I'm thinking about the veterans, those that have gone on before us, those that have been faithful down through the years, those that have stood in the battle and stood in the gaps and may help make up the hedge for God's people. God has blessed them, and He still blesses them today. He wants to bless every one of us. Do you know it's important that our testimonies, where God has given us victory, and God has healed us and brought us through hard and difficult places, those testimonies are very important to the generation that is coming behind us. There are some of us this morning that are veterans, been in the service for a while, been in the service of the Lord, fought some battles that other folks have not fought. But yet, the day may come, and the day will come, no doubt, if God spares time, that they will fight their battles too. The day will come whenever they may be looking death in the face. And it's how they respond to that. It's how that they stand before God. It's their faithfulness. And you know, I was thinking of, there's a billboard there close to the house. And I read it the other day, and it said, they were advertising for Marines. And it said, "We're not looking for people to put in applications. We're looking for commitment." And these veterans, these people that were faithful, Moses was committed to the Lord. Joshua was committed to the Lord. Folks, when the test came down, it wasn't whether we're going to go through this or not. It wasn't whether we're going to trust God or not. It wasn't whether we're going to be faithful or not. But it was a matter of when the test came, it's how they dealt with that test. They weren't superhuman. They were human just like you and I. But it was their attitude and their mindset and their commitment that they had before God, that when they were overwhelmed and the enemy was overrunning, they still trusted God, no matter what the situation was. That's why they were called veterans. We have in this country, I had to look it up, I was pretty sure it was, but I wanted to make sure. We have a day called Veterans Day, November the 11th. Every year, Veterans Day, we honor them. Folks, there's some folks in the Bible this morning that won the Purple Heart. They were faithful. They got shot. They got wounded. They were battle scarred. But folks, they came out of it with experience. They came out of it with victory. They came out of it faithful. And God blessed them and stood with them through the test of their time. You and I are facing the test of our time today, aren't we? The key to Joshua's greatness, folks, not because he was Joshua, because he was a servant of the Lord. Every one of us in here that are saved this morning, we're servants of the Most High God. And although I'm speaking of leadership here, I want to tell you, I'm going to bring this responsibility down to each and every one of us. It isn't just the ministry. It isn't just the leaders. But the responsibility of being a veteran, of being faithful in your battles, in your trials, in your testimonies, in your example, wherever you go and what God chooses and ever how God chooses to use you, it's your faithfulness. Because He said if you're faithful unto death, He'll give you a crown of life. I appreciated the song Sister Diane called this morning. I thought, Lord, how appropriate. She called Stand Up for Jesus. Lord, help us to stand up for Jesus. You know why those veterans, why they were successful? It's because of the relationship that they had with God. Because they loved Him. They didn't lose their love. They didn't lose their desire. They didn't lose their purpose. They didn't lose their determination. They had a commission from God, and they made a commitment to that. And no matter what it came, that what came against them, no matter how overwhelming it was, think of Gideon and how that he went out with 300 men against thousands and thousands of men. And God said, I want you to take those 300 men because I don't want man to get glory. I want to get glory out of everything my church does. We're here to give glory to God's church. It's not glory to man. It's not to lift up or elevate man in any way. But God has always used man to perpetuate the church. He's always had ministers. In our day, we call them ministers. He's had people that were faithful as teachers and people that were faithful in being song leaders and whatever it is that He's called them to do. He's had people to be faithful. Even when they didn't feel like it. Even when they were in great distress of their own in their personal lives. Even when they were going through hardships of their own, they were still faithful. I can still remember in my early days as a young boy of the ministers that when they gathered at Monarch and how they would go off into the woods there and how they'd go off in behind the trees and how they'd be in their tents and praying in the middle of the night. And folks, those brethren, they carried a burden for the church, for the souls that were lost. Lord, help you and I in this generation. What are you and I going to leave the next generation? What are we going to be responsible for on our watch? This is our watch. This is our watch, folks. In the Old Testament times, God raised up soldiers. And those soldiers were faithful, and we call them veterans. There was a picture, I did not read the morning paper, but I saw a picture of a very old man showing his Purple Heart that he got when he was in World War II. We've had several brothers among us. Brother Jim White had a purple heart. Brother Harold Purvis has a purple heart. He was wounded in action over in China. He was faithful. He didn't go around stopping or burning the American flag. He didn't go around desecrating the things that God calls holy. But he stood faithful and he stood true and he fought for his country. And God has blessed him with a good long life. Folks, you and I have some fighting to do today.
Yes.
Paul said for us to be good soldiers.
Yes.
Not just soldiers, but good soldiers. Lord, what makes us a good soldier? It's our commitment. It's that when it's time to do something for the Lord, people are questioning God today. When they come up to hard and difficult places, they're questioning God. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to go through that? Folks, God has a purpose. And all things work together for good to those that love God. What happened to this generation? Folks, there was an alienation of affection. They began to worship other gods, foreign gods, Balaam and all these things. And they lost their love and zeal for God. They didn't have leaders. They didn't have veterans
yes.
that they could turn to for leadership and guidance. Folks, we have congregations among us today that don't have pastors as far as men are concerned. But they have a pastor. The Holy Ghost reserves the right to pastor any congregation. And even when there is a pastor in that congregation, I hope and pray that the Holy Ghost is working through that pastor to pastor the congregation. Because we're living in perilous times. I'm thankful for those ministers that I remember 40 and 50 years ago, and I remember them well. Because I was impressed with them. I looked up to them. I honored and respected what they were doing for the work of the Lord and the burden that they carried for my soul. And I was very, very taken by the ministries.
Yes.
Ministers that were before us. And years ago, they began to tell us there's a letting down. There's a letting down. Folks, I'm thankful for the watchmen that are on the walls. But I want to tell you something. Up there on the walls can be a lonely place sometimes. It can be a very lonely place when everybody else is running around, getting a little too close to the world, starting to lose their love for God and their affection for the things of God. It can be a lonely place up there when you're carrying a burden and you're crying and praying through the night and you see souls that don't have the earnestness and the honesty that they once had in their hearts before God. Folks, it can break. It's a burden, and it can break the heart of those that are carrying those burdens. When they have a love for God, they have a desire for God, they want to see this thing going through. I was reading an Old Testament scripture over in Psalms this week. It said that He will make His ministers a flame of fire. God will do that. It's not to exalt man, folks. We're never to be exalted within ourselves. There ain't any of us that can do anything unless God help us. I was sitting right there before I got up this morning and I said, Lord, without You we can't do anything. I need Your help. I need Your grace. I need You to meet me again today and meet this little congregation with Your Spirit. But folks, I'm thankful for the veterans. My dear pastor, Brother McCoy, when I was a young boy, I've seen him go pray through the night, be called out and pray through the night for dear Sister Sharp, Sister Monty Sharp. And then at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, the answer had come. She got help to her body. And he went off and worked all day that day. Veterans, people that were faithful. A brother that whenever I came up to be anointed and prayed for, and I knew when he prayed for me that I was going to be healed because he had the gift of faith.
Yeah.
Where's the gifts today, folks? Where's the veterans today? Where's the people that are standing true, standing firm, standing faithful? Moses and Joshua are gone. I can name to you many names this morning of ministers that I looked up to and that I respected. They're gone. This is our watch. This is our day. I do appreciate every one of the younger ministers that the Lord has called and how He's blessing them and how He's, I appreciate it so much. And I tell you, as I mentioned, that night there in Guthrie, they will be able, no doubt, to minister to this younger generation. They'll be able to connect with them. They'll be able to be down on their level, their plane. They'll understand them a little more than some of us older fellows will. And I appreciate that. And God knows that. God knows that they can do that. And He's called them. He's called every one of us for a purpose, folks. And I want to tell you, He's called you to be saved. He's called you to be saints. But that's not all He's called you for. Because you're rubbing elbows with family and friends and neighbors that are not saved. And He wants to use you to glorify Him. He's looking for veterans. People with some experience. People that are faithful. No, those ministers back then in my day, early day, they weren't just warning of the externals. But they were talking about the lack of love. We're losing something, saints. The lack of trust, the lack of earnest desire that people had. And watching them, when that happens, the flesh always turns to something. When we lose, I want to use that term again, when there's an alienation of affection, and there's something that appeases and satisfies the flesh more than we allow God to satisfy the soul, we're going to turn to something. This generation here, Joshua's gone, Moses is gone, all the veterans were gone, and this generation didn't have someone to stand up and tell them, God did this, and God did that, and God delivered here. But they had those idols out there, and that's what we got today. We got all kinds of idols out there for our young people to turn to. And not just our young people, but you and I, if we're not careful. And if we're not on our guard. People are turning to things to satisfy the flesh. I know in my heart of hearts, one of the greatest burdens that Brother Mark Sammons had was people living too close to the edge. That was one of his greatest burdens. When he, as far as the church was concerned, he preached a lot to the unsaved. But to the church, one of his greatest concerns and burden was people living too close to the edge. People living in the gray areas. Folks, people question God today. Well, God, is it all right to do this? Or God, why do I have to do that? They didn't do that. I never saw them do that in that day. When it was time for me to do something for God, it's time. You just go do it. You don't say, God, why? Oh, I have to confess, as I get older and as I deal with my afflictions, that I'll say, Lord, you know, I'm just not well and I'm not strong. You're going to have to do this and you're going to have to do that. But Lord, I'm still willing to do whatever it is that you want me to do. If I can do any little thing at all, I'm still willing. I'm expecting these younger ministers to do the work of the Lord and be much more successful than I ever was. But folks, the bottom line is, are you a veteran? We become veterans by our experience. The things that the battles, the trials, the things that we go through, and how faithful that we are when we go through them. It says in verse 13, because they did all this, verse 13, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. God promised us, I believe that promise is still good today, that He'll be our God if we'll be His people. But the burden and responsibility lies on us, doesn't it? The burden of responsibility lies on us. I'm so thankful for those that have been faithful. I'm thankful for our soldiers today that are willing to leave their families, willing to go off in foreign countries, fight people that they don't even have a dislike for or don't even know anything about them, but they go over there and they fight because they're our enemy. Saints, the devil is our enemy today, and everything that he proposes is an enemy to us. We need to understand that. We need to realize that. I'm thankful for the veterans. I'd like to look at a veteran. Daniel. Let's turn over to the 9th chapter of Daniel with me. If you have your Bibles. Daniel was a veteran. He proved himself, didn't he? Daniel became a veteran in bondage. When he was in bondage and he was being ruled by a heathen king, he determined of what he would eat and what he wouldn't eat. He determined what he would set aside, what he wouldn't set aside. He determined that in the face of death, that he had a prayer life and that he was going to keep that prayer life regardless of being thrown into the lion's den. And he kept it, didn't he? Would you call Daniel a veteran? Oh, we don't have time to deal with all the veterans, but Daniel was a veteran.
Yes,
Daniel presented himself before God in such a way that God sent angels to minister to him. Folks, that's a man of God. That's a man that carried the weight of the burden of the children of Israel upon his heart, and he took it before God, and he was faithful. Even when they were out there reveling and wandering around and maybe enjoying some of the things that the heathen nation had, Daniel carried a burden for their souls. I'd like to read Daniel the 9th chapter and the 15th verse. And now, O Lord, our God, Thou hast brought Thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten Thee renown, us at this day. We have sinned. We have done wickedly. You know, I'm amazed today that God's still allowing this world to go on. How many times has that same thing been portrayed in the Word of God? Back in the old time, up in the new time. When the church was falling away, when the prophets were going out. Folks, when Jesus came into the world and He called 12 men, He taught them, He worked with them, He prayed for them. Even when they were arguing among themselves, who's going to be the greatest and all these things, He kept at it. And He held them together because they were the veterans that was going to go out and they were going to take the message to the world. They were the ones that was going to propagate the early church of God. He didn't give up on them. He won't give up on us either. If we're faithful and if we're true. Daniel prayed here. He said, we have sinned. He just threw himself right in there. How'd we get in bondage in the first place? Because we sinned. Because we started worshiping Baal and we started worshiping Ashtaroth and we started worshiping all these gods. How did America get where it is today? Because it sinned. And it's worshiping all the gods that are out there among us and around us today. That's how they got there. But he said, O Lord, may we all entreat God in this manner. O Lord, according to all Thy righteousness, I beseech Thee, let Thine anger and Thy fury be turned away from Thy city, Jerusalem, Thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, you know how to entreat God? You remind God what's important to Him, what's precious to Him. He reminded him about the holy city, Jerusalem, didn't he? The place where God many times had come down and met His people and blessed His people and answered their prayer. He reminded of those things. Moses did the same thing. People that the veterans of old folks, when they got desperate and they came before God, they reminded God. You know, God wanted to destroy all the children of Israel and raise up seed after Moses, didn't he? And Moses began to entreat God, if you do this, people, the enemies are going to say that their God wasn't able to bring them through, their God wasn't able to deliver, and God didn't do it. He stood in the gap for them. Lord, help us today to be like Moses and Joshua and Daniel and many others, to stand in the gap. Verse 17, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do and defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. God still loves us. He loves his church. God does. And I believe the main reason that he loves his church is because his son was willing to come and give his life for it and purchase the church, the Bible says, with his own blood. I want to tell you something. In reading this scripture, he said, defer not for thine own sake, O my God. You know what we see sometimes today? Sometimes folks put more emphasis on their sacrifice that they had to make than they do on the will of God. Think about that. Oh, Lord, but I've done this for you, and Lord, I've done that for you. Folks, that's not where the value is. That's not where the emphasis belongs. It belongs on what the will of God is and what His purpose is in bringing all souls to Him. That's what this is all about here. All souls are mine, and He wants to bring them to Him. And sometimes we think, oh, I have sacrificed this, and I have sacrificed. Well, I fasted all day long. Well, big deal. We should be fasting, folks. There's some terrible things going on. There's loved ones that if they die, Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you can't come. That ought to put enough burden upon our hearts to do some praying and fasting, shouldn't it? People dying in their sins, those that we love. You close your eyes. Lay there in your bed some night. Close your eyes and think about your children, your loved ones that are not saved being in a devil's hell forever. That ought to put a burden on us. That ought to put a concern on us, because that's the way it's going to be if we're not careful. Let's not put so much value upon our sacrifice. But he said, for thine own sake. But let's do what we do for God's will, for God's sake, for His purpose, for the purpose of His Son that was willing to come and sacrifice and give His life for us. Our sacrifice means nothing compared to the sacrifice Jesus made. I cannot make a sacrifice that can even compare with what my Lord did. But sometimes today, we're living in a changed time. People put the value on their sacrifice. Look what I did. Look what I went through. I told you, I'm not here to elevate anybody. But I'm here to elevate God this morning. Somewhere, somehow, along the way in this country today, church has become a place of entertainment, entitlements, and camaraderie. I had my car serviced this week, and a very nice man driving the courtesy van for Jeff Weiler over here, he took me home. And then the next day he came and got me and brought me back to pick up my vehicle. And he's telling me, he was asking me where I go to church, and I told him where I went to church. Did I tell him I was the pastor? No, I didn't. But I told him where I went to church, where it is. And he told me he goes to the first, what is it, the first church? Is it First Church of Christ? That big thing out there on Middle Urbana Road. And he said, you know, they don't know why they actually went there. He said it was too big, but he said now it doesn't seem too big. He said my wife and I are involved in Sunday school. I said, yeah, those places kind of get you involved in things so you'll stay. They get you involved in things so you'll stay. Folks, here's my question. People are searching for the best venue or what suits them to attend churches that offers the most attractive attendance, including incentives. If I can be somebody, if people will look at me, if I can be some kind of leader. I've heard of people going to churches because of the church's music ministry, youth ministry, or it's just great and exciting there. There's so many people and God just comes down and blesses. Or I've heard this too. I go there because I just feel at home. It's a good place to just feel at home. I've heard that. Are any of those valid reasons for attending a church? I'm wondering what happened to placing the value on the delivery of the Word of God. It seems to be put last in their desires and what they're looking for, or near the last on the list. I wonder what their desire is for hearing the truth. Folks, do you know today people aren't putting enough value on their souls? They're willing to be sucked in by this and that and the other because they're not putting enough value on their souls. I have a question. Have we today constructed a brick and mortar church, a building that we call the church? Is that what we call the church today? That's where they call it. That's what they call us. When the brick and mortar becomes the church, this takes the responsibility of soul winning off of us. When that's the church. Not my responsibility. That's the church. That building over there, that's the church. And it takes my soul-winning responsibility right off of me. I don't have that responsibility anymore. The church does. That building over there where people go. When we go to church, instead of being the church, we become very happy at satisfying the natural man with the pleasures centered on self-gratification. Folks, that is the truth. When we go to church, instead of being the church, instead of being faithful, instead of standing up to before God and being the veteran that He is asking for, calling for, We are taking in the pleasures of our self-centeredness and our self-gratification when we're no longer the church. The building is the church now. I believe, well I know, that you and I need to understand who and what we are according to what the Bible teaches. Not according to what feels good, or just feel comfortable there, or the song ministry is so great, or that's so great, but what about the Word of God? This man never said a thing about the Word of God because I let him go on and on and talk about his thing. He never said a thing about the Word of God. seemed too big at the time, but now he fits in. We just fit in. Is that why we go to church? If we're just fitting in, we're not the church. The building's the church. That's all. That's how that we don't realize it, but that's how we're looking at the church. The building's the church. I'd like to look at a scripture, the way God has designed this. In Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse 1, John had a vision. He said, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. The angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And they shall, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, if I can have a license here to say it in the way that I see it, understand it, and put it in my words, God was measuring the church.
Yes.
Measuring the temple. The temple of God, the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not. Our hearts, our lives, our motives are being measured by God every day. Now, remember I said it isn't the great sacrifice we make, but it's the will of God that we desire. We want His will to be done, His purpose to be done in this earth. So, God is measuring us every day. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday night, but every day. You and I, this generation, has been given a reform of holy living. D.S. Warner got a vision of and some light on some things and handed down some things to us. But folks, I don't believe God is expecting us just to stand on D.S. Warner in his light. But we have a responsibility to take that, learn from that, build on that, and we have a responsibility to live a holy life on our watch. That we can show our young people. Not just tell them, but show our young people. This is the way that you live before God, a holy life. This is the way that you do it. You keep your integrity even when no one is looking. You keep your integrity because God is looking down and He's measuring His temple every day. We're being measured every day. He said here, the court outside the temple, don't measure that. Folks, let me tell you this morning, and I've preached this many times, but folks, the things that don't belong in the temple, he said, leave it out. Yes. The folks that are professors, the folks in deception, the folks that are sinners, the world, leave the world out. It cannot be measured unto holiness before God. It can't be done. And he said to leave it out. What are we going to leave the next generation? What are we going to tell them? What are we going to tell God? Let me say it this way. What am I going to tell God after I've taken my last breath and I stand before Him at judgment? And He said, I gave you something to do and you failed. You know, I thought about veterans. You know, God told Ezekiel, if I tell you to warn them and you don't warn them, their blood's going to be on your head. I don't want people's blood on my hands. I don't want that. Because I believe God said what He meant to Ezekiel, and He meant what He said. And here I am trying to get Larry. Get everything right in Larry's life and keep it right so I can make heaven. God's looking for veterans, people that become stable in their own experience before God. You can't be a veteran without stability. You can't be a veteran, a good soldier, without following commands. You can't do it. You've got to keep the commandments of God. You've got to get your own life in order. You've got to get the mindset that no matter what comes, what I've got to face, what I've got to deal with it, I'm going through because this is what God wants, and I want God to be blessed in my life. And only then, you see, Joshua was successful because he was a servant of the Lord. Only then can you be a blessing and a help to others when you've got stability in your own life. Yes. When you've got God blessing you and working in you, and you're not questioning Him, and you're not doubting Him, oh, there's people doubting Him today. Good people doubting the Lord. But until you get victory over those things, you can't be a good soldier that God can use to be a help to others. And I understand we're all, every one of us, are still working on our own selves. God's working on us, every one of us, showing us places and things in our attitudes and our personalities that I brought out the other day and all these things in our life. God's still working on us. But folks, there ought to come a time, what Paul say? He said, at a time when you should be able to eat meat, I've still got to feed you with milk. Those people got a long ways to go before they become a veteran. Someone that has experience and can say, I've been there, done that. Fought the battle. And by the grace of God, the battle was won. It's the only way that we're going to make it, folks. It takes the grace of God to bring us through these things. Some of us know the price that others have paid for what we have today. Jesus paid the ultimate price, didn't He? God is looking for veterans today. He's looking for veterans. He's looking for people that are proven soldiers and faithful. Can we just read this? Be reminded again of this scripture over here in Hebrews. I'm going to close. But over here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, let's just read about some veterans and how God puts His value on them. The walls of Jericho fell down when they were compassed 7 days. But verse 32, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, of Samson. You know, why Samson in here? He failed God, didn't he? Have you ever failed the Lord? Have you ever had to come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I sure wished I hadn't have done that, but I can't go back and not do it over and do it over again. I believe that's what Samson did. I believe he was very sorry that he trifled with God and it got his eyes put out. But Samson's in here. I didn't put it in here. Of Jephthah. Of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Who was Jephthah? Oh, I tell you what, folks. Don't promise God something unless you mean it. He was out there on the battlefield and he wanted to win that battle so bad that he said, Lord, when I get home, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'll offer it unto you for a sacrifice. Remember that? When he got home, his heart was broken, wasn't it? For his daughter came out of the house, the only daughter he had. He vowed a vow before God. Lord, help us today. The world, there's so many out there today that are trampling over their vows, letting down on their vows. don't mean anything. Folks, when we continue to do those kind of things, they don't mean anything anymore to us. But they still mean something to God. And He said it's better not to vow than to make a vow and not keep it. That's what His Word says. Well, Jephthah's in there. You think it didn't break that old man's heart? Come home and see his only daughter come out of that house and, oh, I promised God that I would deliver her up. And they did those things in those kind of days. Did God expect him to keep his vow? Yes, He did. Did God know beforehand what was going to happen? Yes, He did. It was a test. Oh, Lord, this test is too hard. Lord, I cannot do this. Folks, he would have lost his place here. He'd have lost it. It wouldn't be here if he hadn't kept his vow and his word before God. No matter how hard it is for us. David, Samuel, another prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Do you feel challenged? I feel challenged by these folks. They didn't live in the day of grace that you and I live in. But they were committed to their God. They had respect unto God. And they were faithful. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. God said that. The world wasn't worthy of such great men and women that were faithful at that time. But folks, here's what He brings it down to you and I this morning. The very first verse of the next chapter says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They're a witness to you and I, folks. It can be done. No sacrifice was too great that the will of God would be done in their life. You think that they're not reaping the benefits today? I do. I think they're reaping the blessings today because they were faithful. Oh, the horrors of it all. And it is horrible. It's terrible what's being done over there in the Middle East right now. But they're enjoying their reward today. And they're going to be a great cloud of witnesses that have come back with the Lord to witness against you and I. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, I don't know what they're probably just going to put my name and a date I was born and the day I died on my headstone. But if they put anything else at all, I'd just like for it to say he was faithful. He loved God and he was faithful. Lord, help us today. He's looking for some veterans, even in this day and age. As darkness moves in all around us, as people are changing and moving away from God, so they did it in Joshua's day. So they did it in Moses' day. So they did it back in the apostles' days. Paul saw it, and he dealt with it in the church. Lord, help us to be faithful. Because someday, our day will come. We'll be delivered, and we'll be rejoicing. For how long? Forever and ever. Forever and ever. So that tells me that no sacrifice is too great. For whatever the Lord calls me to do for Him. But I need your prayers. That whatever it is that He calls me to do, that I'll be faithful. Because I don't want to let anything keep me out of heaven. Amen.